Welcome to the special SearchStorageChannel.com Frequently Asked Questions podcast. I'm Elaine Hom, assistant editor with TechTarget's Channel Media Group. My guest today is Curtis Lindemann. Curtis is the director of technical services for Round Tower Technologies, an IT solutions provider based in Cincinnati. Today, Curtis and I will be discussing how to assess a customer's storage capacity requirements. Curtis, welcome to the SearchStorageChannel.com podcast.
Thanks, Elaine. And now we're going to discuss things that you should be considering as a service provider when you're putting together a solution for your customer.
Okay. Is NAS, FCSAN, or iSCSI SAN the right fit for my customer?
Now, I realize that this question can often be similar to a religious discussion, but there is some basic information that you can use to help determine the best solution. So generally speaking, NAS was designed for sharing files in an open systems environment. If the customer is sharing files amongst a number of clients or servers, NAS will be an extremely efficient way to service your customer's needs. Make sure that if there's a specific application being used, that it's compatible with not only NAS, but the specific NAS platform you wish to specify. The fiber channel versus iSCSI debate is a little more difficult. They both provide virtual disks to a host using encapsulated SCSI over lower-level transport, such as fiber channel or IP. It also looks like a local disk to the application, so there really shouldn't be much of a worry in the way of application compatibility. Still, you ought to check with your application vendor to ensure that there aren't any gotchas for a specific SAN or iSCSI array with their application. But ultimately, it really comes down to price and performance. Don't be fooled by the typical claim that fiber channel is four times faster than iSCSI because you can get 4 gig fiber channel and 1 gig Ethernet. At low speeds and on small arrays, the performance and latency of iSCSI will be comparable to fiber channel. It's important that you understand your customer's performance requirements and validate with the vendor that it can meet those requirements over the chosen transport. You'll find that iSCSI will meet many customers' requirements and save them a ton of cost in infrastructure such as HBAs and switches.
Now, what type of drives should I use for my customer?
And so this really implies, should I use fiber channel or SAS or SATA? Should I use 15,000 or 10,000 or 7,200 RPM drives? And it really comes down to performance requirements. There are tools that can be used, such as Perfmon in a Windows environment or Systat and IOSTAT in various flavors of Unix that can help you determine the I/O rates for a particular environment. Next is making sure that for a given capacity, you've allocated enough spindles to meet the customer's performance requirements. A typical rule of thumb is that fiber channel or SAS drives at 15,000 RPM can handle about 180 IOPS, or I/O operations per second, while a 10,000 RPM drive can handle about 120 IOPS. If you're concerned about performance at all, SATA is simply not an option. That's the drive you use for archive and applications where performance and reliability is really not a concern. It's also worth noting that if performance is the customer's only concern, that flash drives are starting to become available in high-end enterprise arrays. While they're expensive, nothing can come close to competing with them in terms of performance.
What RAID type should I use for my customer?
There are three criteria to consider here: performance, reliability, and cost. If raw performance is the only concern that the customer has and your array supports RAID 10, then that coupled with 15,000 RPM drives is the way to go. However, expect a price tag to be high for this solution when compared to 10,000 RPM drives with RAID 5. For normal workloads, RAID 5 with 10,000 RPM drives should be sufficient. Just make sure that you've put in enough spindles to handle the customer's workload and validate with vendor sizing tools to ensure there are no gotchas after implementation. If you're taking the cheap disk approach, that pretty much means SATA, then you should absolutely want a solution that can handle RAID 6 or something RAID 6-like with a dual parity scheme to protect you from double disk failures. SATA drives are less reliable than fiber channel drives, and are also typically quite a bit bigger. This means that rebuild times will be significantly longer for a 750-gig drive than it is for a 146-gig drive in a similarly sized RAID group. Since rebuild times are longer, it means you're susceptible to a parity error or a second drive failure that can bring down the system. RAID 6 protects your customer from this issue. The trade-off is that there is additional overhead from the second parity calculation, so you want to make sure to take this into account when sizing the solution.
How much overhead should I factor in for snapshots?
You want to work with the array vendor you're specifying to ensure you're meeting their best practice guidelines. At a minimum, if you're keeping block-level changes, you'll want to reserve some small percentage of space for snapshots to ensure you can always take them when you need them. Some vendors require setting aside a significant portion of the storage for snapshots and/or replication, so you want to make sure you factor that in. Also, beware that some vendors that provide unified or all-in-one SAN and NAS solutions have different best practice guidelines for NAS data than they do for SAN data, so make sure you account for these differences when sizing for snapshots.
How is my customer going to back up this data?
If you are using a SAN array and want to do serverless backup, this will imply that snapshots are involved and that a different host will be required to have access to the snapshot of that LUN. This has storage implications, and also management implications in terms of switch zoning, LUN masking, and software costs. If you are using a NAS array, you may want to consider using NDMP. There will be infrastructure considerations, such as backup HBAs and SAN ports if backing up over a tape SAN, and in most cases, licensing implications with your backup application when using this method. However, this is typically a best practice for most mid to large size NAS arrays. If VMware is involved, you'll also want to consider doing backups either at the ESX server level or using VMware Consolidated Backups, also called VCBs. If snapshots are used in conjunction with these, the amount of storage required needs to be considered.
How can I determine a customer's data growth rates if they don't know what it is?
Without having an SRM tool continuously scanning the customer's environment for several years, there's really no 100% accurate method to help you answer this question. However, there are some good tools that are freely available on the internet and also commercially available that can allow you to scan file systems and determine, based on creation date, how things have grown in the past. The caveat to these tools is that you have no way of accounting for data that may have existed in the past but was later deleted. Typically, you'll see that growth in a customer environment has ramped up over the last 3 years. So even by taking this potentially inflated number as the guideline, it may turn out to be a fairly accurate representation of what the next 3 years will look like. Also, be sure to consider any potentially large projects that the customer may have coming up that would significantly skew the storage requirements.
Is data deduplication a potential fit for this data?
So there are a number of solutions today that are already providing data deduplication in a backup environment, but now we're starting to see Tier 1 players start to add data deduplication to their Tier 1 and Tier 2 storage arrays. First, you want to consider if storage dedupes at the file, block level, or some sort of variable length data segment, as each one of these methods have different levels of impact in the environment. Next, consider the type of data. In a shared file system environment, there is often a significant amount of data duplication in Microsoft Office documents, email, and static media such as images and movies. Also, VMware can be significantly impacted considering the typical server consolidation ratio is 10 or 20 to 1, and that most of these are Windows servers or Linux servers sharing the same binaries. You have to be careful about any potential performance impact, though. Make sure to work with your vendor to ensure that data has been laid out to maximize the potential deduplication benefit while ensuring any potential performance impact is minimized. One last consideration is that data that is already encrypted or compressed is typically not a good fit for a data deduplication solution.
Should thin provisioning be considered for this project?
Thin provisioning is the act of provisioning more storage than you have physically available on an array. It's becoming increasingly common in enterprise-class storage arrays. The theory behind it is that it improves your storage utilization and helps keep your costs down. The thing to keep in mind is that thin provisioning is basically like trading stocks on margin. It works out great as long as things go as planned, but you have to keep a constant eye on the storage. You can get into dangerous situations that can cause servers to crash if you run out of capacity, potentially resulting in data loss. So when considering the total cost of thin provisioning, make sure you consider the extra cost of monitoring and management for the solution, as well as any potential disaster scenarios due to operator error. Use caution when using thin provisioning in a solution and make sure that the customer understands all of the caveats as well as the benefits when choosing to use this feature.
Thanks for joining me on this SearchStorageChannel.com podcast, Curtis.
Thank you, Elaine.
For more information on storage capacity assessments, please visit us online at SearchStorageChannel.com/capacity. Thanks for downloading our podcast. Join us again next time for more frequently asked questions.